This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
And on the show today, we've been asking you since morning, what makes you trust a leader? You can get in touch with us on Instagram or Twitter. It's at BFM Radio. You could also send in a WhatsApp text message. It's 018-789-8899. You can get in touch and let us know what makes you trust the leader. What are the elements that you're trusting your own leader in your organization? So let us know, because trust is, of course, an essential part, but yet it's an often overlooked ingredient. Mm. In leadership. Following that, though, we're still going to continue our stories on COVID-19. I'm picking an article and insights from EY on how to plan for a sudden disruption. It's a very good insight into some of the steps that you can take. And following that, another COVID-19 story, lockdown in Italy, as they have, suspended mortgage payments to 8 citizens. It's right. A very interesting story of how they're dealing with the, financial crisis that individuals are having, being able to, not being able to go to work and do their daily routines and stuff. So, what makes you trust a leader?
Yeah, so but first and foremost, why are we talking about trust? So I found this article online about trust in governments and how that affects policy effectiveness and governance as a whole. And I will link the article to our podcast later on after the show. But basically, the article says, back in 2008, the financial and economic crisis that started then led to a significant loss of trust in governments around the world. And without trust in government, markets and institutions' support for necessary reforms is difficult to mobilize, particularly where short-term sacrifices are involved and long-term gains might be less tangible. The sharp decline in trust in government is serving to underline that trust is an essential, like we just said, often overlooked ingredient, not only in leadership, but in successful policymaking. Mm. So a decline in trust can lead to lower rates of compliance with rules and regulations. Citizens and businesses can also become more risk-averse. They might delay investments, innovation and employment decisions that are essential to regain competitiveness and to jumpstart economic growth. So nurturing trust represents an investment in economic recovery and social well-being for the future. So bringing this conversation back home, we now have a new cabinet, right? Mm. And I think last week, before we knew of the lineup, Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, he promised that this cabinet would be clean and credible, and it would be one that would encourage trust. So we spoke to several experts about trust and, what was their impression of this cabinet lineup, and will it help address the trust deficit in the government, considering the recent political upheaval, what we had to go through for a couple of weeks, right? So we spoke to Leela Barak from Leela Barak and Associates, and as well as Professor Rozan Othman, partner at Human Capital Development. And we asked them, first and foremost, what was their first impression of this new cabinet lineup?
The lack of diversity is actually quite worrying, because it does mean that large sections of Malaysian society are going to feel either under or unrepresented by this cabinet. This is something that I really hoped the Prime Minister would get right, considering that it's not a new issue in Malaysia and the previous administration had the same problem. The other thing is, I was actually hoping to see more technocrats in cabinet. Of course, the appointment of Tengku Zafrul as the finance minister is definitely a positive, but there are certain other ministries where it would clearly have been preferable to have seen people with industry experience helming these ministries.
If you look at many of the faces, especially from the UMNO ministers as well as the Bersatu ministers, they are pretty much the same old faces, people who have been around for quite some time. It seems to indicate there is a lack of young talent the Prime Minister is able to draw in. And I'm not so sure whether these senior ministers have the kind of a fresh perspective that would be needed to deal with the many challenges facing the country.
We also asked Leela and Professor Rozan about the promise of a clean and credible cabinet, and if they felt the lineup actually lived up to that promise.
I certainly hope so. There are several people who are members of the cabinet who have the capacity and can deliver. However, having the capacity to do a good job is not the same thing as actually doing a good job. We know that. So I certainly hope that they will live up to the promise that has been made.
I am a bit reserved as to whether this is a credible and clean cabinet. We know that at least one of the ministers had in the past been responsible for leading a ministry that bought helicopters that were never delivered. We also know that some of these ministers have had a reputation for presiding over agencies that were involved in corruption, where the CEO of the agency under them were later on charged in court by the SPRM. Now, as a minister, you hold the CEOs of these organizations accountable. And how could this happen under their nose without them noticing it? And it's only after the change of government that some of these abuses were detected and finally the people responsible charged in court. I like to keep an open mind, but I have my reservation in terms of whether that will be enough to basically restore confidence in the government.
That, of course, was Lila Barak from Lila Barak and Associates, as well as Professor Rosan Othman, partner at Human Capital Development. We'll continue our conversation with them. They have quite a lot more to say, especially we'll come back to questions on trust and credibility as well in just a few minutes. But, you know, our question today is,
what makes you trust a leader? It's on Instagram at BFM Radio. It's on Twitter at BFM Radio. You can get in touch, reply to us, let us know what are the elements that makes you trust an individual, especially if it's your leader in an organization. You could also send in a WhatsApp text message, 018-789-8899. We'll be right back. But for now, though, it's Billy Joel with A Matter of Trust. BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Moolah. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
And we've been asking you, what makes you trust a leader? You could get in touch with us on Instagram at BFM Radio, on Twitter at BFM Radio, or you could send in a WhatsApp text message, 018-789-8899. Do we go on to WhatsApp?
Can. We've got Cyril Augustine here. Says, to trust a leader, the leader should trust the team. Have listening ability, most importantly, empathy. Very good. Thank you. Maggie Bess here says, I trust political leaders who don't suddenly drive posh big cars or have a or several grand houses, start dressing in branded clothes and are no longer seen around their constituency's neighbourhood after they obtain their official post in government. I know it's still daylight, my dreams are free. Or above all, I trust people who doesn't change the principles to drop with a hat, because I believe that the ends do not always justify the means. If I subscribe to the belief, I shall call myself unscrupulous. Rose says, I couldn't trust my leader. He kept running away every time I untied him. 883, what is trust? I only believe selling fried bananas can have 900 million wealth.
Looking at Insta story, we've got really short responses here. There's one here from Sam Abdul who says, when one is seen to walk the talk. Another one from Tan who says, integrity. Ming says, transparency. And another Ming Ti Chan says, empathy.
You know, it's kind of like the same on Twitter as well. We've been getting a few messages. Walking the talk by Born to Ride. You know, I think walking the talk is a very good way of making sure that, you know, you have that trust in that leader if your leader is walking the talk. Deppy says, accountability. That's also a very important element. Engage Southeast Asia says, transparency, consistency, integrity, and also accountability are the key pillars to building trust. And in this current climate, there are opportunities for leaders to seize the day and build even greater levels of trust in an organization. And that's very true, right? Because even we talked about like COVID earlier on, and, you know, despite its, you know, environment that we live in and the difficulties that organizations have, there is a way where you can then innovate, and maybe, you know, it will propel you into your digital transformation journey even you know, at a faster speed than what you originally planned out. So now is probably a great time to also, you know, build trust and, you know, focus on trust as a key element.
So I guess our new cabinet is another entity that will actually have to build trust. You know, they are new. We spoke to several experts about the trust deficit in this new government, as well as, you know, the perceived integrity of this cabinet as well. We spoke to Leela Barak from Leela Barak and Associates, as well as Professor Rosan Othman, partner in Human Capital Development. And we asked them about, well, I think this perception of several MPs on this new cabinet. Now, the majority of MPs that defected from Pakatan Harapan were given portfolios. Does this hurt the perceived integrity of the cabinet?
The issue of legitimacy and everything that flows from that legitimacy is going to be a lingering concern for this government because of the manner in which it came into office. Whichever side of the divide you came from before, you're going to be operating under that same cloud until we go back to the rakyat for elections.
It does appear as though the cabinet appointments are basically the distribution of the spoils of war. Almost everyone who crossed over from the old Pakatan Harapan were given positions, even though not all of them are known to have been very outstanding in terms of their performance in their past responsibilities. It'll be naive to think that this was just an appointment based on competence or good faith. You cannot deny that there is this issue of using the cabinet appointment as a distribution of the spoils of war.
We also asked Leela and Professor Rosan, you know, how will the announcement of this lineup help address or improve the trust deficit in the new government?
Malaysia as a country, as a nation, we have suffered this deep distrust of government for a long, long time, whether it's, you know, this cabinet, even the last one, the one before that. Our national position, default position, seems to be one of distrust. And when I talk about trust, I mean, trust in every sense of the word, yeah? Whether you can be trusted to do your job well, whether you can be trusted to take care of national assets, whether you can be trusted to keep the interests of the people at heart first and foremost, or even whether I can trust you to not embarrass us on the international stage. But there are so many aspects to trust. So it is unfortunate this government didn't come into power in the most ideal way. And so now that they're in office, is their very appointment sufficient to eliminate and banish all that distrust that's lingering, that we've had to deal with for years? I would say come back in 6 months and let's talk about it again.
I think the trust deficit that we see here is very profound. Those who are critical of what has happened are unlikely to be swayed by merely the appointment of the cabinet. They'd have to deliver, and until today, we've not seen much by way of new ideas, new initiatives. Of course, it can be said that they've just been appointed, so it's too early to say. But for the most part, these are not individuals, even in the past, who have been known to be innovative in terms of coming up with the new ideas.
We also, just to cap things off, asked Leela and Professor Rosan what they would say are the best practices from working from a blank slate to kind of help address this trust deficit.
If you're starting work on a clean slate from day one, because first impressions count, yeah, show that you're not afraid of hard work. Work hard. Pull in the long hours. Roll up your sleeves. Work hard. Two, play with the team. Work with the team. You don't want to be that bull in the china shop that goes inside a ministry and, you know, slams everybody, breaks everything, criticizes everything, cannot work with anybody. You don't want to be that person. Three, practice integrity. Be seen to be practicing integrity. I cannot stress that more. Especially in Malaysia, especially with a trust deficit, you have to be seen to be practicing integrity. Four, a little bit of humility is a damn good thing. There's some good civil servants there. Learn to work with them. Ask them when you don't know something. You don't need to know everything. You don't need to be an expert in everything. And finally, ministers need to speak in one voice. Messages have to be coordinated. We don't want situations again where different ministers are saying different things, and it's almost like you have a public spat and a quarrel. It seems to create the impression of discord. We don't want that in our leadership. We want to know that you're doing the job, you know what you're doing, you're working together as a team. We don't want to imagine that you're squabbling, because that makes us feel uncomfortable.
I think it's difficult to talk about best practice, because there is probably no single practice that be considered to be the ideal practice. We probably need a mix of talents. Some positions will have a lot of political consideration. If you're talking about looking at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, for instance. But when you're talking about managing the economy, managing science and innovation policies, you need people who really understand the subject matter and not just any Tom, Dick and Harry who happen to pledge their loyalty to the Prime Minister who gets appointed in spite of never ever having been known to even discuss anything about the issue related to the portfolio that they've been appointed to.
That, of course, was Leela Barrack from Leela Barrack & Associates, as well as Professor Rozhan Othman, partner at Human Capital Development. Mm. Now, you know, we've been talking so much about trust, right? But I'm just thinking, trust is such a subjective thing. It's a phenomenon, right? It's about having someone perceive you in a positive light. But it all depends on how you rub the person. If you rub the person the right way, you know, if your interactions with that person or in their eyes has been positive.
Okay, so it's to me, it's like integrity, right? When you say something you with one person, it should be the same with another person. There shouldn't be any sort of difference in the way you view different people, right? This is a very interesting thing that the whole concept of the word integrity in buildings, right, is the integrity of a building is the foundation of a building. If one part of the building doesn't have the integrity, it will all crumble, right? So this is that is one of the words that is used in buildings. So when I look at it metaphorically, you know, in that way, does this have the integrity? Does it have the foundation to stand on its own merits? That's one thing. I know Professor George Cole Reiser came on air a couple of years ago, and he talks about it, and it's such a very big, you know, visual image, and says the fish rots from the head. So
that is why, you know, trusting your leader, or, you know, the kind of person that who you have as the head really matters as well, you know, to build that foundation, right?
Very much so.
That is why we're asking you, what makes you trust the leader? As our question of the day, you can get in touch on Twitter or Instagram. It's at BFM Radio. You could also send in a WhatsApp text message, 018-789-8899. We'll get to your comments in just a bit and our next story on COVID-19. For now, though, it's Coldplay with Politics, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.